Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Emor la kahanim b'nei Aaron, say to the kahanim, the sons of Aaron, Yomarta aleihem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. And you should say to them that they should not be mitama themselves to any nefesh, to a dead body. Famous question over here is, Rashi tells upon it, Emor la kahanim b'nei Aaron v'yomarta aleihem. Say to the kahanim and you should say to them. What is the double lashon? Say to them and you should say to them. So Rashi speaks about it. Rashi, famous Rashi that says, Lahazir gedolim alaktanim, to be mazir the gedolim, to tell the ketanim. We spoke about that last year. The Medrash also tells us on this, and the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. The Medrash says, about this it is said, Imrois Hashem amorois tahayreis. The words of Hashem, the sayings of Hashem, are sayings regarding purity. They're pure words. So the Eitz Yosef, that's the Pirush on the Medrash, says that the Medrash is referring to a further Medrash. This is the Maimer Chazal. Omer Rav Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. Rav Tanchum Bar Chaniloi said, what are these two Amiras? This is a remez to two Parshiyos that were said Lagabe Tumah V'Tahara. Shtei Parshiyos Hichtiv Lanu Moshe Bateira. Moshe Rabbeinu told us two Parshiyos in the Torah. They ain't Tahiras. They're both regarding Tahara. What are the two parshiyos? Ze Parah Aduma uParshas Ameis. The parshiyos are Parah Aduma and Parshas Chukas, and the parsha over here of Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav. And both of them were said Al Yidei Shevet Levi, the Kahanim, and Ageya to both of them. What's the Medrash telling us over here, and why is it so important that these two parshiyos of Tuma should be Merumis together? So I once heard the pshat. There's two parshiyos of Tumah. There's a parsha over here of Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav, and there's a parsha of Parah Aduma. And both of them are negeyah to Tahara, except there's a major difference between the two. This parsha speaks about avoiding Tumah L'chadchila. Don't get yourself into Tumah. The parsha of Chukas, parsha's Parah Aduma, is what happens after a person already came in contact with Tumah. So the first is Azhar, stay away from it, and the other one is, what do you do when you have it? The Torah is telling us over here, putting them together, that you have to look at both drachim together. There's a major difference between the two. If you avoid Tumah L'chadchila, it might not be as easy, because you have to go out of your way L'chadchila and make sure exactly where you go. That's not an easy derech. But the end is much easier. Because once a person comes in contact with Tumah, then there's a whole process of what to do. You have to shech the Parah Aduma. Finding a Parah Aduma is not an easy thing. And after you shech the Parah Aduma, there's a whole process of what to do with it. And you have to burn it. And then you have to take the ashes. And not only that, but not everything is Torah after that. Other people become Tumah because of you. The person that prepares the Parah Aduma becomes Tumah. The person that does the Hamazah, the one that sprinkles it, becomes Tumah. So once there's Tumah that you come in contact with, it's not such a pashta thing. So the Torah is putting both together. Imrois Hashem Amoris Tahiris. The Amoris of Hashem are Tahar, but you have to look at the comparison. One of them is more difficult in the beginning. The other one, once you came in contact, it was easy L'chadchila, but once you came in contact, it's difficult to get off. And let's say there is no Parah Aduma, you can't get it off. And that's a big lesson for us, for life in general. That there's two drachim in a person's life. There's one derech, that's not the easy way. That's to stay away from Yisurim, to be constantly careful, what am I coming in contact with, and what am I doing? That's not always the easy way. But it's a lot easier that way from the other way. Let's say a person is not careful, and he does come in contact with pitfalls that get him into problems with his Yetzer Hara. Once a person comes in contact with his Yetzer Hara, and once a person takes the other way, then life takes, it's much more difficult the other way to be able to get out of it. That's what the Torah is telling us over here, by putting these two inyanim of Tahara together. There's a medrash in the beginning of Eicha. It speaks about the chacham of the little children of Yerushalayim. So it says that Rabbi Yehoshua was once on his way to Yerushalayim, and he met a young boy, young child, and he asks him, which one is the closest way to Yerushalayim? So he says, this way is shorter but longer, but that way is longer but shorter. Yeshua heard this way is shorter, so he took the shorter way. And it turned out that the way was full of holes and pits, and there was trees strewn about. And it took him a long time to get to Yerushalayim. By the time he went there, he saw the kid looked like he was long there already. So he asked the kid, I thought you told me that this way was shorter. So he says, you didn't hear what I said. I said, this way is shorter but longer. The other way is longer but shorter. In distance, this way is shorter. But there's a lot of things on the way there that hold you back, that hinder you from getting you to your destination. The other way is longer in distance, but it's a straight path, and that way you could make it easier. I took the longer way, but it was shorter in the long run. So there's a limit over there for Avodas Hashem in general. There's different drachim that a person could take. Sometimes people like to take shortcuts and take the easy way out, but those shortcuts are fraught with dangers on the way, and it's not so easy to get to Yerushalayim that way. To get to the promised land, to get to our destination, it's not so easy. Lahepach, the more difficult way, the longer way, it's more difficult, but in the long run, it's the straighter path, and we don't fall into the pitfalls. That is a limit that could be taken from this comparison between the two Amores of Tahara, the one that avoids Tumah L'chatchila, and the one that has to get the Tumah off once it's already there. The Torah says, Lo yikrichu karcha b'raisha, they should not make bald spots on their head, upas zekonim lo yigalechu, this is referring to the Kohanim, and they should not shave off the peis of their beard, the corners of their beard, uvisarum lo yisritu sarothes, they should not scratch any scratchings in their flesh. So there's a very nice machshava here from Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. He says the following: what's the inyan? Why does the Torah especially tell kehanim lo yikrichu karcha b'raisham? Because it was yadua that the priests of Avodah Zarah in the olden days, they used to make themselves look strange. They used to shave, I think the Sefer HaKinuch also says, that they used to shave around their heads, so they used to have like this hair on the top, and around here was bald. And they used to make themselves look strange to look different from the nation. Why did they do this, up to Yeshua Leib? Because their neshamas were no greater than anybody else. They were no great sheikhs. Their pnimius was really mushkis, just like everybody else. So to show that they were different, they had to make different simonim on their goof to show that they were different from everybody else. But by Yosh, by Gedolei Yisrael, they don't work like that. By Gedolei Yisrael, the pnimius is greater than everybody else's, and it's nicker. They don't have to make simonim on their heads to round off their heads or to make bald spots on their beard to show that they're Gedolei. So the Torah tells the Kahanim, especially by Kahanim, the inyan is that the pnimius has to be elevated. Not that you have to make special simonim on the goof, that you're higher than everybody else. So Yikarchu Karcha Bereisham V'Sarmo Yisratu Sarotas, don't make these shinuyim on the goof. The ikar is that your pnimius has to be elevated. Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim say that the Chofetz Chaim, in his regular day-to-day life, he was the most normal person imaginable. Most normal person. Didn't do anything different. There were people that came to visit the Chofetz Chaim, and they walked away saying, you know, they don't see anything special over here. Why? Because the Chofetz Chaim was as big a genius as he was in halacha and in midas, he was a bigger genius in hiding himself. In other words, by him, he didn't do anything strange, he didn't see especially any frum kait on him, you know, that to make himself. His pnimius is what's shown out. So the ikar is that pashtus. As a matter of fact, there's a story said over about the Chofetz Chaim when he used to go around selling his sefer, he used to go from city to city. So he was once in the home of one of the big rabbonim, Rav Naftali Silverberg. And he didn't say who he was. He didn't introduce himself. And they were schmoozing. I say, he's speaking about Mili D'Alma, but in a Talmudic way. And finally, after about an hour of schmoozing, Rav Naftali says, no, I can't spend my time over here schmoozing forever. I have to go. That I was learning. So the Chofetz Chaim told him, you know, what we did here was not batola. You know, we didn't speak Dvarim B'Talim. We spoke important in Yonim. So he saw that the Chofetz Chaim said it with such a feeling that, you know, we didn't speak Dvarim B'Talim. He says, who are you, by the way? Like, what's your name? And he told Chadvarim, he figured out that he was talking to the Chofetz Chaim. Then he asked for Mechila that he wasn't Makar who he was. Chofetz Chaim, he appeared like a Pasht, he dressed Pashtizdik, he acted Pashtizdik, not like the priests of old, where they used to have to make special simonim on themselves to show that they were different from everybody else. I saw an interesting thing. Henoch Leibowitz, Katzadik Lebracha, the Rosh Hashiva in Chofetz Chaim, Snifter a couple of years ago. So I read one of the biographies about him, and it said that when he was a bacher, he came home once, he bought himself a black suit. Those days, you know, most people didn't wear black suits in those days. He had brown suits and gray suits and blue suits, you know. He came home with a black suit. It's his father, David Leibowitz, the Rosh Hashiva, he asked him, "What's this?" So he says, "I just bought a black suit." So he says, "Go back to the store and return it right now." To wear a black suit, you have to be holding for that. You have to be holding by that. Not everybody's ready for a black suit. That's like an itztil of the Rabbonon. Not everybody's holding by that. And he made him give it back. You know, now, the pshat is by the Gedolim, they held that, you know, you have to be ready for that outer covering. If you're not yet ready for that outer covering, if the pnimius is not yet holding by that, and I'm sure that his pnimius is on a very high madrega, but his father felt you're not yet ready for that itztil of the Rabbonon. That's the pshat, that we first have to make our pnimius be holding on that madrega, and then the chitzenius could also be a meroimim dikuway. Pasuk goes on to say, Almona, grusha, v'chalola, zayna, es eila lo yikach. These are women that a kohen gadol may not marry. May not marry an almona, a widow, a divorcee, one that had relationships with someone that was usher to her, a zayna, he's not allowed to take her. Kiyim besula me'am of yikach isha. He may only take a besula in his nation, one that was never married before. You have to understand, what's wrong with taking an almona? Like, hey, look, grusha, you can declare, you know, she was a grusha, she was already married, it was a broken marriage, you have to know, maybe she's not right for this fellow. But an almana, what did an almana do wrong? Her husband Evach was nifter, why should that be usher to a kind God? So the Pirish Moshe Zakenim from the Bali Atosis brings down a nifladika Rav Yehuda HaChosid. Nifladika pachat kodim dika Rav Yehuda HaChosid. Rav Yehuda HaChosid says that Hayos the kind God, when he used to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he used to say the Shem HaMefayrish. We have a chash that maybe he wanted a certain woman that was married to someone else, an Ashes Ish. Because he had a machshava on it. And when he says the Shem Kodesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he might have in mind that her husband should die, that he should be able to take her over. So for that, the Torah says you should know l'chadchila, an almona is also to a kohen gadol. This is what Rav Yehuda HaChosid, a reason, says why an almona is also to a kohen gadol. You make a cheshbon over here. It's pili ploim. Pili ploim, the chshash over here. You're talking about the kohen gadol. You're talking about someone who for the last 7 days was mafresh himself, and he was totally oisik in the yonim of preparing himself for the avodah. He was up a whole night, he was magdish himself up a whole night, he was only oisik in the yonim kedusha. He's in the most chosen place of the world, he's in the Beis HaMikdash. He goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the holiest day of the year, and he mentions the holiest word shayach to say, the Shem HaMefayrish. The Afal P came, there's a chash that B'shas Maisa, he might have a wrong machshava that he wants this woman and he wants her husband to die. How's the shayach such a thing? So the Svarim say, you see from over here how much a person has to be afraid of his Yetzirah. How the Yetzirah of a person works, that on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, mentioning the Shem Kodesh, you have to roll back on a Shayach, and it's still Shayach that the Yetzirah should have a Shemitah on a person. That's how careful we have to be, and that's why the Torah says, L'chadchila, she's off limits for you anyway. There's nothing to talk about, and that way, they take away the chash of a Kohen Gadol having such a machshav. Nifla ad ma'id. Chazal say, do not believe in yourself until the day that you die. And they bring a raya from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Mishamish B'Tahara as Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Ula B'Soif, he went off and he became a Tzeduki. How's that shaya? The Teretz is the Yitzhahara has a Koyach. We can't imagine how great the Koyach of the Yitzhahara is. Al Tama B'Yatzmach Al Yoyim Moishcha. If Chazal say, Hein b'gdoish of lo yamin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never puts his name on the biggest tzaddik even when they're alive. It would not say Elokei Avram while Avram Avinu was alive. It would not say Elokei Yaakov while Yaakov Avinu was alive. Why? No matter how great the tzaddik is, he never trusts them. There's always that chash of the Eitzahara. Yitzchak Avinu, because he was blind, and because he was closed up in his house, and assumed as harsh of Kimeis, so it says, okay, Yitzchak, even while he was alive, because he was like he was dead. But the Avos HaKedoshim, even the Avos HaKedoshim, Hein B'Kedoshim Lo Yamin, can't trust them until the day that they die. That's a peladik, a peladik, a peladik thing. There's a ma'isut of Shimon Shkop, Shimon Shkop to Seif Yomov. Pretty old and weak and frail, and he was in the hospital. And there was an old nurse that was in the room that was taking care of him. I guess for a little while there were no Talmidim there by his bedside. Rav Shimon got out of bed and ran out because of a shash of yichud. So Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, you know, this old decrepit nurse, she almost looked like a raise, like an old prune, you know, and there was no shash whatsoever of anything, you know, and Rav Shimon was an old man already. So he said, Rabbeinu, I've come. You know, Mamash is a chash. He says, you don't know the way the Yetzirah works. The Yetzirah in 1 minute could turn me into a young man and could turn her into a young woman and a beautiful young woman. That's the way the Yetzirah works. Yetzirah makes funny things happen in the mind. So he's like Dr. Shimon from the Tzadikei Tzadikei Hadar. That's a Mari the Kalimit over here from the Kohen Gadol. How vait the chash has to be. Vaydavar Hashem al Moshe Leimer. Dabar al Hanam al Kol B'nei Yisrael V'yomarta Aleihem Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael. Every man from Beis Yisrael when I ger be Yisrael Ashe Yakrav Korbonai. That's Makrav a Korban L'chol Medreyem L'chol Medvoysam Ashe Yakrivu L'Hashem L'Yayla. The Torah goes on to speak about Balei Mum, the Isser of bringing a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael. From that extra word ish, the Gemara in Masechtas Chulin Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis Darsens, ish ish l'rabbis esa'akum. We're makabel karbonis even from a guy. However, the halacha is that by a guy we're only makabel a karbon oila, we're not makabel a karbon shlamin. What's taket of shad? Why is it that by a guy there's only a karbon oila and not a karbon shlamin? So there's different reasons given for that. The Ralbag says it's yodua. That by a korban shlomim, the emurim go on the mizbeach, they're makdirin on the mizbeach, and the behemoth itself, you know, is eaten by kohanim and it's eaten by the bailim. The bailim gets it, it's mishulchan gavoya kazach, it's not the pshat that it's his own, he's zeicher from the table of Hashem, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eating from the korban on the same table with the baal ha-korban. Zokter al-Bag, that by a yid is considered a ben, is considered a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's shaykh to say he eats at the same table, and he eats from the same meal as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But goyim are considered avodim. And memele, it's not yitochim that a goy sits at the same table and eats from the same korban as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the halach is an oyla to go totally up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dos yeh. But a shlomim, where you're sharing a korban with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dos nish. There were people that came with tainus to Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner had mushalachim going around collecting for the yeshiva. And, you know, the mushalachim also used to take a little chalak of it for themselves. So people had tainus. How are you talking? You know, they're collecting for the yeshiva. What right do they have to get a little bit of a percentage for themselves? So Chaim Volozhiner said that that's the way of the guy. By karbonis, it's yadua that korban oila. By goyim, it's only shaykh karban oila that everything goes la Hashem. Karban shlomim is not shaykh by goyim. Why? So because a goy doesn't understand that a yid should also have a chelik in it is also a chelik of avodas Hashem. A goy understands giving to Hashem, he's totally giving to Hashem. But that a ben adam should be able to have enough from it also, lagabi a goy doesn't understand that. Yidn understand that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the biggest nachas ruach, that ben adam also have enough from it. And over here, the dovas to the yeshiva, this is the way it has to be, that a yid has a chelik in it, does goof is a chelik of avodas Hashem. So that's really the way of the goyim, that a yid should not have a chelik in it. Umiyad ben necher lo sakrivu, from the hands of a goy, you're not allowed to be makriv mikol eila from all of these balei mum kimoshchosam bohem. They're corruption is within them, mumbam, it has a mum in it, lo yeirotsu lochem. The Torah tells us that the same way a Yiddish carbon about mum passels, by a Goyish carbon about mum passels also. Yet, there are differences in halacha between the mumin that passel by a yid and the mumin that passel by a guy. By a yid, it always has to be complete. Say if it's on a bama, say if it's in the Beis Hamikdash. By a guy, if it's on a bama, then stama mum doesn't passel. It's only a mechusar aver that passels on a bama. In the Beis Hamikdash, pashtus is the same. The halachas are the same. Yet we find there's a gemara in Bava Kama. Nifladiki Gemara Bava Kama, that there are differences in the Beis Hamikdash between the behemah of a yid and the behemah of a guy. The famous mice of Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa, this fellow who was friends with Kamtsa, and he was enemies with Bar Kamtsa, and the end was he found Bar Kamtsa by Yesuda, and he picked him up and he threw him out. He didn't want him there. So Bar Kamtsa saw that nobody came to his defense. He says, Shmamino de Kranichalul Rabbonon. He says, I'm gonna go and I'm going to be moisture to the government against them. So he went to the Kaiser and he said, Mardu b'cho Yehudai, the Yidden are rebelling against you. He says, how do you know? So he says, Parsha, send a carbon to them and see if they're going to be makrivit. So he took a well-fattened carbon, geshmaki behema, and he sent it into the hands of Bar Kamtsa to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. On the way there, Bar Kamtsa made a blemish on the behema. One mandomer says it was on the eyelid, and the other mandama says it was on the lip. A place where to the goyim it's not considered a mum, but yidden consider it a mum. As I state in the Gemara. So what's the pshat? Why takya? I mean, it's not such a major mum. Why is it that yidden consider that a mum, and goyim do not consider it a mum? So Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, I'm the kipshat. By a goy, the eye, you could look at it whatever you want, it's a free world. There's nothing wrong with looking at it, staring at anything you want. It doesn't pass. It's a free country. You're going to tell me I can't look at something? Talking, there's freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. Lashon hara, rechilus, nevala, dvarim b'teilim, by a guy, freedom of speech, everything goes. A yid realizes that the eyes and the mouth are kelim of ruchnius. The eye is the window to the mayach. What a person sees, it leaves its imprint on the brain. It could be moilet terrible machshavis. It could be moilet hashchasa in the neshama. What the mouth says, lashon hara, rechilus, that's metama the nefesh. It takes away the koyach hakedusha of the mouth. A yid knows that the eyes and the mouth, they are moiridik and moiridik kelim of kedusha. So that's the pshat. By goyim, if there's a mum in the eye and in the mouth, it means nothing. You know, mum in the eye, mum in the mouth, there's nothing there. Mashenken by a yid, the animal is supposed to be a replacement for the person. That's the whole idea of a carbon. So, if there's a mum in the eye and there's a mum in the mouth, by a yid, itaka means something. And therefore, duchta, it's a place that for goyim, it's not considered a mum, but for yidin, it is considered a mum. I just want to finish off with an interesting thing. This week's parasha has in it the parasha of Sfira. Svartim lochem mimachras ha-shabbos, miyayim ha-viyach ma-sayim ha-tnufe, sheva shabbos is tmimas tihiyena, ad mimachras ha-shabbos ha-shviyas tisperu chamishim yayim. The Chazal say, of course we don't actually count 50 days. We count 49 days, right? So what's that tisperu chamishim yayim? The Chamishim Yom is going on to the Hikraftim. Chamishim Yom, when the 50th day comes, then the Hikraftim in Chedosh Al Hashem. But it doesn't mean that we count 50 days. So the Satmar Rebbe asks, so why then does the Torah make it sound like we count 50 days? Lamaisa, if you read the Pasuk Kipshutai, right, it says you should count, it's a good Chazal Darshan differently. But why did the Torah make it appear like we count 50 days? So he says, beautiful. He says, the Sefer HaChinuch says, what's the purpose of counting Sfirah? The purpose is, because the greatest day in the history of the Yidden was Man Matan Torah Zeinu. The tachlis of leaving Mitzrayim, the ultimate in Chayrus, the ultimate in freedom, was that 50th day when the Torah was given. That was mamash, the final geula for Klal Yisrael. And by the way, the number 50 itself implies that. The number 7 as Yodua represents Teva, represents nature, because the world was created in 7 days. You have 7 times 7. The 50 does not fit into any one of those sets of 7. The 50th day is Lamaila from everything. because that represents something which is lamaylam in ateva. We are freed from teva. On that day of Matan Torah, we are freed from teva. So that day is the most important day in the history of Klal Yisrael. The reason why we count these days of Svira is to show the tremendous cheshik that we have to get to that day, to get to that day of freedom, to get to that day of Matan Torah. Says the Satmar Rebbe, that's not in the Torah. Ad Mimachros Hashabbos Hashviyos Tispru Chamishim Yoyim. You should count for that 50th day. Every single day when you count, you should have that 50th day in mind. We're counting for that 50th day, that ultimate in freedom. Zman Matan Torah Zeinu. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.